Joshua chapter 14. I checked the mysterious complaint box and found no complaints, so I was happy about that after church today. Nobody found it, so I'll take that as a sign that nobody had any complaints, and that's a good thing. We're going to think tonight, just for a few more minutes, about the passage here in Joshua 14:12. We have in mind a study that we'll probably begin on Sunday evenings here in a couple weeks. But for tonight, let us return to where we were this morning and just reread verse number 12. As Caleb says unto Joshua, "Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spoke in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." Joshua blessed him, gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Oh, that were able to be said of us, what is said of Caleb here at the end of verse number 14. That we wholly follow the Lord God of Israel. Was Caleb perfect? No. He was a man. He had his faults, his failures, no doubt. He had his sin, the temptations he gave into, just like everyone else. But the overall characteristic of Caleb was that he followed the Lord God of Israel. We pray that is us today. When we think about his statement here, "Give me this mountain," we consider the importance of following after what God would have for us to do and to be in this life. And for the majority of us tonight, he has called us to be members of the New Testament Baptist Church here in West Gilbert. That's a mount that he has given to us, and one that we must exclaim, "Give me this mountain." He has called us to climb that mountain. You know, we all like to have the mountaintop experiences, don't we? And those are good. We love those. We cherish those. We covet them. We desire for ourselves to be on top of the mountain, so to speak. But what do you have to do to be on top of the mountain? What do you have to do to enjoy that seemingly limitless and endless view without any obstruction, to be as close to God as we can be in this life? What do you have to do to have that mountaintop experience? You have to climb the mountain, don't you? Very seldom, if ever, are we just simply thrust or raptured to the top of the mountain. There may be occasions when it happens in life. But even in those times, if you'll look back, you'll see it required work. It required many things to get to the top of that mountain. And so, Caleb saying this, and having this desire even in our heart tonight, we need to realize that it takes work in order to obtain the goal of having the mountain. Of having and doing that which God has desired and designed for us to do and to be. I mean, this was Caleb's inheritance, but Caleb had some things he had to do in order to obtain, in order to receive. We want to think about a few of those quickly here tonight, because the reality is, as members of the West Milton Baptist Church, in July of 2018, God has given us a mountain to climb. One of those is simply being a church member, being part of this wonderful body and assembly that God has given us. That's a mountain to climb. That is work that we must do. That is a hardship that we must endure as far as the flesh is concerned. That is something that we must give ourselves unto. But even aside from that, as a church itself, we find ourselves with a mountain to climb. With change and transition and different things unfolding, we have a mountain to climb. So let us think about that tonight. If we are going to climb the mountain, we have to overcome the obstacles. We have to deal with the work at hand. And what is that work? First of all, and this we touched on to a great degree this morning, so we'll gloss over it quickly. For there to be a mountaintop experience, for us to climb the mountain, The very first thing that must happen is that there has to be a desire in our heart to climb the mountain. That's clearly evident here that Caleb had that desire. It drove him for decades. As he wandered in the wilderness, as he buried his brother, and as he endured the hardships, all he could think of was attaining unto that mountain, that inheritance. He had a great desire. As it came into view during his promised land adventures and conquering it, as he came to Joshua that day, he had a great desire to take the mountain, to climb it. When you think about mountains, even in the world today, some people ask a mountain climber, why climb the mountain? And many of them will say, simply because it's there. In other words, they're saying, I have a desire to be on top of that mountain, on top of that place. If there's no desire, then we'll stay in the plains. If there's no desire, we will say, too much work, I don't want it. And we will not undertake to climb the mountain. The question we need to ask ourselves as a church is, do we have that desire? Do we have the desire to climb the mountain that God has given us individually, as church members that make up the body, and then as a body, do we have the desire to climb the mountain? Do we have the desire to say, give it to me, I want it no matter what the cost is or how hard it is? No matter how much changes, no matter how much the difficulty is, can we, like Caleb, sound the battle cry and advance on the mountain knowing that it's what God has desired and designed for us just now? There has to be a desire in our heart. That desire is constantly called into question as there are obstacles in our way. That desire is constantly called into question as our commitment is called into question. When there are difficulties, when there are disagreements, when there are things that transpire that we'd rather not think about or deal with, or that would be easier if they were not so. For instance, if we decided it'd be easier, we didn't come to church, or if we stayed home on Sunday night, or whatever the case is. Let us, like Caleb, say, give us this mountain. There has to be a desire, or we won't even set foot on the mountain. And you can take that, but we're not doing it tonight, and apply that to all the individual things of life, to parenting, to marriage, to relationship, to all the things that we face every day. You have to have a desire to climb it, or you're not going to be successful. Secondly, in order for us to take the mountain and to gain the blessing of receiving that which God has given to us, or where He would desire us to be, to see what's on top of that mountain, there's the need for strength. There's a need for strength. A mountain doesn't just get climbed by desire. And desire takes us a long way. Really, it does. There has to be strength. The man laying in a hospital bed may have the desire to climb a mountain, but he certainly is lacking the ability, isn't he, to strength. There has to be strength. Notice verse 11 here. As Caleb was giving his monologue to Joshua, he says in verse number 11, after he was telling him he was 85 years old, he says, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war, both to go out and to come in. This is a fact that we should not doubt. That the strength of Caleb had not failed. That he was as strong now, and maybe you can even make the argument he was even stronger because of the things he had faced. He had a stronger commitment, resolve. I mean, after going through 40 years in the wilderness, he wasn't about to quit, was he? He was stronger for the experience. Hear some preachers say today, I've come too far to turn back now. Not going to quit. Not going to give up. And that needs to be our desire as well. There has to be strength. Caleb had that strength. Moses was said to die, and his strength had not waned from him. So we believe that about Caleb as well. God provided him the strength for the task at hand, for the journeys through the wilderness, for conquering the promised land, for dealing with all of the hardships of life. And now, as he was ready to take this mountain, his strength had not failed him. Wouldn't that be a cruel joke upon Caleb if finally he reached this place And he could lay eyes on yonder mountain and know that that was his, but yet had no strength. No strength to climb it. No strength to undertake in settling. God provided the strength for him. Desire will only take us so far. We need strength to take the mountain that we desire. This for Caleb was provided, of course, by God. We need it too. We need the spiritual strength to battle from day to day to take those mountains. Whether we're talking individually every day, you need strength from God to fight the battle or to climb the mountain, whichever metaphor you want to think about. You need that strength. You need that ability. It doesn't come if we are feeding ourselves things of the world. That only comes from God. God can provide it. Now, we may have waned physically over the course of time as far as strength goes. You may not have the physical prowess that you once did. You're not able to work like you once did physically. But today, you ought to be spiritually stronger than you've ever been in your life. You ought to be able to, like Caleb, stand up and say, I am as strong and even stronger than I was 20, 30, 40 years ago when I began this journey. And I have the strength, I have the ability, I have the resolve to climb this mountain that God has put before me. It takes a great deal of strength. As a church, we need to say, give us this mountain. That's the desire. But we also need to strengthen ourselves in the Word of God, in the fellowship of God, in the fellowship of one another, that we would have the strength to climb the mountain that is in front of us. We should be able to gain that strength from the working of the Spirit of God, through the preaching of His Word, through prayer, through all of the appointments that God has made for us. We avail ourselves of them. You know, there is a responsibility upon us to keep ourselves in shape. Both physically, you know, we have the stewardship of this body. But you know, the same is true spiritually speaking. We have the responsibility to keep ourselves in shape spiritually, so we have the strength to climb the mountain. We gain that from our fellowship with God, from our prayers, from our reading His Word, from our giving ourselves to worship each and every day. And we may at the end of the day feel like, I don't have the ability to go on anymore. Pray to God that He'd give you more strength. And you'll find that strength to take one more step. You'll find that strength to go out a little further on the mountain. You'll find the strength to accomplish the task at hand just a little bit more. So we need desire. We see that in Caleb. We need strength. We see that too in Caleb. But then thirdly, we have to be willing to overcome the obstacles that are in our path. We have to be committed to the point that we say we are not going to turn back no matter what obstacle is in our path at any time. There are obstacles to mountain climbing. There are obstacles to overcome that test the commitment. Anyone can serve the Lord when it's easy. Anyone can serve the Lord when it's comfortable, when it's not hard. But when there's obstacles in the way, then it becomes more difficult, doesn't it? Our commitment, our resolve is tested. Our strength is used. Our desire is tested. And we have to overcome these obstacles. One of these obstacles is gravity. Think about the imagery of a physical mountain and someone trying to scale that mountain, climbing up perhaps a sheer cliff to make it to the top. One of his biggest obstacles to overcome is gravity, isn't it? That gravity is always pulling down. It's weighing down, isn't it? It's always working in opposition to the goal or task. We find there are things always pulling and weighing on us every single day. As we say, give me this mountain, as we pray to God to give us strength, we are going to immediately find things pulling and weighing us down to keep us. To keep us from, or trying to keep us from reaching the top of that mountain. Trying to get us to turn around. Trying to get us to quit. Gravity is an obstacle. So different for a church. There will always be things pulling down, trying to pull us away from each other, trying to distract, if you will, from the task at hand, weighing us down, making it harder. And what we do, sin, obviously, is one of those things that weigh us down, that keep us from being successful in climbing the mountain that God has given us to climb. We carry around that baggage. What does Hebrews 12 say? Let's turn over there quickly. I'm sure I could have quoted it, and you would have been very familiar with the verse, but notice here, Hebrews chapter number 12. Not only is gravity pulling us down, but there's also weights, like sin, that pull us down, weigh us down, that are working in the opposite direction against us. Wherefore, verse 1, seeing we also are compassed about and so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. He's using the analogy of a race. We're using the analogy of climbing a mountain. It's the same point. That sin is a weight that pulls in the opposite direction and will try to keep us from gaining the mountaintop and getting there. Distractions is another one. Distractions are another obstacle we must overcome. We cannot lose focus on what the Lord has given us to do. You know, when Caleb came up, Caleb was not worried about any other action. He's not worried about any other thing that was going on in life. He was not worried about the other mountains that needed to be climbed. He wasn't worried about the other things that needed to be done. He wasn't worried about the things that were going on somebody else's mountain to climb. But Caleb said, give me this mountain. And this mountain was what he was focused on and worried about. He wasn't so worried about the other mountains that were in the range. He wasn't so worried about other people's things that they had to do. But he was focused upon the here and now and what he was given and about the task at hand and accomplishing that task. Making sure that he was able to take the mountain and to do it. We are far too concerned many times about what other people are doing, when we need to be concerned about what we're doing and about what we are accomplishing and about the mountain that God has given us to climb. Don't lose focus on that. Another distraction, of course, and one that a mountain climber faces the most is his own mind. His own mind. Plays tricks upon him as things unfold. He begins to think about things. He begins to contemplate things. Things are put into his mind that maybe aren't true. All of that transpires time after time and tries to get him to quit. His own mind is many times his greatest enemy. We know in Philippians 2, we are told to have the mind of Christ. We need to put off the old man, put on the new man, and make sure that our own minds are not hurting us, distracting us, and keeping us from where we are to be and what we are to be doing. That is one of the greatest obstacles that we have to overcome. And then fourthly, and lastly, to go back to Joshua chapter 14, another thing that we have to face in climbing the mountain are the enemies. The enemies. You'll notice here in Joshua chapter 14, verse number 12, now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, meaning the Lord had told him about it, that he would receive it. He goes on to say, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, that the cities were great and fenced. They were enemies. This land was, when Joshua and Caleb went and he saw it, it was well defended. It was a place where the enemy was. And still, they remained there these 40 years. It had only gotten worse, no doubt. Their defenses even greater. Their strongholds even stronger. their settlements, even the Moab. And so they were enemies on this mountain. He knew it was his inheritance, the place his family and his people were to dwell. He had to face the enemies. Enemies are always present in our lives as well. We face many of them. Many enemies to our spiritual well-being. Many enemies to our mountain climbing for God. We have enemies that would desire to see us fail, to quit. As a church, it's no different. We have enemies that would desire to see us quit being the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, does he say that there is somebody actively plotting in our community to work against us and desire to see us quit? Perhaps. I don't know of anybody. But we understand and know that the world likes nothing better than to see the Lord's churches fail, even if they don't understand why. They work against it, even if they don't understand why. One of those enemies, of course, that we face is Satan himself. Satan would desire nothing more than to see this church fail. To see this church torn apart, to see this church quit, being the pillar and ground of the truth. He is a hungry lion. And he is not only devouring individual Christians, but he is devouring churches today. Just take stock of all the churches that you know in our fellowship that have been in upheaval, that have been in split, that have been in great straits over the course of the last 5 years, and you'll see that it is a great enemy that we face, and Satan. He is hungry. Satan also has many demons at his disposal that are also our enemies, that are working against us constantly. If we could see the demons of Satan in our life, and indeed when we were in this building and being together as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, our flesh would be so scared we couldn't do anything. It's a real enemy that we face all the time. That's why he is so against us, and that's why we find it hard. These enemies must be overcame. Even our fellow man would like to see us fail. These enemies must be overcame. There are always going to be enemies to advancing the cause of Christ today. Climbing them out. You say, give me this mountain. There's immediately going to be something in your way. An enemy to fight. An enemy to conquer. These enemies must be overcame. But notice what Caleb says to Joshua at the end of verse number 12. After reminding Joshua of the enemies. He says, if so be, the Lord will be with me. Then shall I be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Caleb was assured by faith that if he climbed this mountain, that if he took it on, and that he was given to this desire that God had placed in his heart, that God would drive the enemies out, that he would take care of all the foes that would be faced, that he would be victorious. We see and know that he was. Caleb was successful. His family was still in possession of the land. Just because it's hard doesn't mean that it's not right. Just because it's hard doesn't mean it's not worth it. Just because it's hard doesn't mean we should quit. Let us take that today from looking at Joshua chapter 14 and from Caleb's battle cry here. Because we have been given an opportunity as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ to faithfully be the pillar and ground of the truth until the Lord returns. That is our mountain as a church. That is what we look forward to. That is what we desire. I hope you desire it individually. That we be faithful when the Lord returns. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to get easier. People are not going to start flocking. People are not going to start embracing. And if the world starts embracing, then something's wrong. Better look out. And so, it's not going to get easier. It's going to get harder. It's only going to get steeper to climb. It's only going to get more with the weighing down, more enemies. There's only going to be more obstacles. That doesn't mean it's not worth it. I pray that you'll climb the mountain with us. And that, in spite of all of these hardships, we will continue to say, give me this mountain. I pray you reflect on this from time to time. As you're tempted to quit or just kind of phone it in or whatever the case is, pray that the Lord will bless, that He'll be with us. in a wonderful, in a mighty way. I pray this has encouraged hearts today. I know that it's encouraged mine, and I pray that it will continue to resound within us throughout the weeks, months to come. And you will bless and watch over us and be with us as those things unfold. We're going to conclude services tonight just a little bit differently.